welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me and Raylene. And today we have a special guest. We have Melanie Murphy in the house.
It's me.
Everyone, we're so excited to have Melanie on. Not only is she just like a ray of sunshine, but Melanie, you have a new book coming out.
I do.
So that's so pretty damn exciting. When does that come out?
That comes out on May 5th, and it feels like it's been the longest journey ever because when I actually started the book, it was before the pandemic. So I feel like I've aged 50 years since I started writing this book. That's going to be, and I've like had a child in the meantime. So it just feels.
And bought a house.
Yes. It's been.
Who are you?
It's been a time. I'm a completely different person than I was when I started the book, and it's gonna always be very special to me, I think, for that reason. Like, on my bookshelf, future me is going to have lots of books. This is gonna be my third published book, but I feel like I'll always look at this and be like,
special child. Yeah.
Special child who somehow survived that insane episode. Oh gosh. Well, we're so excited to have you here, and we'll talk a little bit more about your book in a bit.
Yes.
So for anyone listening, they will have noticed by now, hopefully, Raylene, that all of the guests we have on the podcast are just my friends.
Oh, yeah.
They're just people I know. Yeah, that we like. Which, I mean, makes sense because, I mean, the reason we have this podcast is because Raylene and me are friends. So we were like, let's do a book podcast.
Yeah. And it's easier to talk to people that you've met and, you know, you've got stuff in common with. I've always found it very, I don't know, just jarring when I have been a guest on podcasts where I don't really know the people or watch them, or we've not met. It's more difficult, I suppose, to just get into the flow of a conversation.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So me and Melanie met at a Buffer Festival a few years ago, but I definitely have watched your videos for longer than that. And you're friends with a lot of my favorite people, like Lena, who we've had Lena
I
on the podcast before.
I'm actually doing a collab with her tomorrow. You guys did one on her new series where
Books for a Dead Planet.
Yeah. I'm doing that tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
I'm so excited.
That's so cool.
The book we're both reading is called This Is Vegan Propaganda and It's Ruining My Life. And I am like, I'm going to have to say goodbye to cheese now.
Yeah.
And I've cried the whole way through. It's awful. It's so difficult. And there's so much in it that it's like I knew this stuff, but I just didn't want to really believe it because I was vegan before and I stopped. And yeah, so it's going to be an awful conversation, but I'm still going to enjoy it because it's Lena Norms. She's amazing.
Yes. She's such a genius. But yeah, we loved having her on. I will link to that down below. So she has a series, and I can link to the playlist for everyone listening. She has a series called Books on a Dead Planet, and it's a book club, sort of like a book discussion group where she's talking about climate change books. And you know, it must be good, right, Raylene, if they've got me and Melanie?
I mean, it sounds like a star-studded affair at this point.
Well, Melanie, let's jump into asking you some questions so that our listeners can get to know you, because the really fun thing about having guests on is that by this point, what the hell episode are we on, Raylene? 136?
It's in there somewhere. Yeah.
It's something like that. We've been doing it for over 2 years now. People know what the hell we like reading.
Okay? Yeah.
Maybe
and
too
so we're
well.
Like, it's maybe too
we
well.
We talk about so the same like, books over and over again.
Over and over. Oh, you don't know what to read? How about Albatross again? One more time. But that's why it's so fun to have new people on, because we've got such different tastes and different people on here. So we're going to start off with a big one. All right. Favorite author. Who's your favorite author?
I just hate this question so much. It's like asking someone, what's your favorite meal? Or what's your favorite family member? Or even like, what's your favorite film? I can't even answer that question. I am so bad at, because I feel like, what if I hurt all of the authors?
I know.
I don't. It's like, they have no idea that I'm saying this. And yeah, it's very difficult.
You'll find out.
I
Who did you get to in the end after your soul searching journey?
Yeah, so if I look back at like who have I read the most books by, when I was a teenager, I always used to go to the library with my grandmother and I read so many Maeve Binchy books. I don't know if you guys know her. She's an Irish writer. She's published like tens of millions of copies. Like, she's so popular. But her books, they are very Irish and they're very, but I feel like they're, if you want comfort food or like a soup and a blanket, I would read a Maeve Binchy book. Just the way she explores relationships and stuff, I love. But if I have to pick like a lifetime favorite, Stephen King, probably The King. And honestly, like, The King.
I haven't heard anyone call him The King before. So much
I love that.
It's funny because it's true. No, but I feel like with him as well, it's a kind of a similar thing. And I know he's not really considered a great writer by a lot of people, and I just find him very entertaining. And I feel like if I have to weigh up like what author has wrote the most books that I actually finished and enjoyed, it would be him, because there's so much diversity in his like back catalogue. Like, even there was a book he published a few years ago that he describes as his favourite of his own books that he's written, called Lizzie's Story. And not that many people read it or liked it. Like, a lot of people are like, it's so slow and stuff. I absolutely loved that book. That was, I think, it was only a few years ago that was out. But God, like, my whole childhood and my teen years, the amount of his books that I just consumed. And I don't know, I don't want to say I have like a love-hate relationship with him, but there's some of his books that I just think are shite and I hate.
That's exactly how I feel about him.
Yeah.
I love
so
some
many,
of his, but, and I hate some, and then there's a whole bunch that are just in the middle.
yeah. And so it's a weird one. And please no one come for me for saying that, because it's like, oh, who do you think you are with your shite books calling Stephen King The King shite? But I just, you know, I think, but that's one thing that like helps, I suppose, when you're publishing books, is to know that a lot of people or some people are going to think they're bad. Art is so subjective like that. But I do think he would probably have to be, like, if I was to pick an author based on number of books.
Yes.
But, yeah, and just through the 70s, he wrote so many that's bangers.
I mean, you've come to the right place, because Raylene, I think that's the author you've probably read the most books by, right?
Yeah, and I would say the same thing. If somebody's like, who's your favorite author? I'm like, well, who have I continuously read
through
the years? And a couple of years ago, I think I read like 10 of his books in 1 year, because I was just like trying to catch up. And like, I would say he's up there as one of my favorite authors, but there are so many of his books that I didn't even like at all.
Yeah, it seems
kind of funny to say that. It's like, Salem's Lot, not interested.
Oh, there were quite a few where, like, you know, some of the most popular ones as well of his, I just, like, I never finished The Stand. And that is, like, one of his most loved. I know it's like a brick, though. Like, but it's kind of like, I don't know, the way I love Lord of the Rings, but like I couldn't read it again. So whereas some of his books I have read more than once. So I kind of use that as a barometer as well.
That's a good measure.
In terms of newer authors, though, like, an author I love at the moment is Beth O'Leary, and like, only because her books are so uplifting, and the last 2 years have been so miserably depressing with the way the world is, that I feel like I just want to smile and have like a nice cuddle and
what's smiling, Melanie? Tell me about this smiling thing you keep mentioning.
Well, so you get a stapler. I know, I do. Oh, she is just, she's really talented. Like, her books are, they're very easy to read, but I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, it's such a compliment these days with how my attention span, everyone's attention span, like, we're, you know, a generation of like reels and TikTok, and it's like, and it's such a skill to have an amazing point or like an amazing little idea. Joke, like, and make it really small and consumable. But it's become harder for me to finish books as I've gotten older, and I don't think it's because I'm getting older. I think it's because the way the entertainment industry is changing. So her books kind of, I just find them so easy to read. And she has like a kind of a thing where it's like, you know, she would hate me saying that, though, that her books are always like two people. So it's like two people share a bed, but they've never met, or like, you know, a granddaughter and a grandmother swap lives, or like she has one where a woman ends up on a road trip and her ex in the car with her ex, you know, stuff like that. But it's just
classic.
Yeah.
And strange it's, situations with like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'm going to like be reading her for a very long time.
That's a really cool answer. Have you, to go back to Stephen King for one second, have you read On Writing by him?
Yes, twice. It's okay, so
that's
good.
That's a constant Raylene and Ariel pick, a book we talk about a lot.
It's
we both
so
love that
good.
One.
And I feel as well, like, I don't know, just the whole story of how his career began, it all was just like just hurts my stomach just how easily that all couldn't like may not have happened.
Could have been so different.
I know, right? He threw Carrie in the garbage.
That's like crazy. So many of us do that. I just think of how many Stephen Kings have not gotten to be the king because they threw their crappy books in the garbage.
Because right?
Carrie
didn't
is
have
shit.
His wonderful wife.
I mean that's interesting too, because I'm imagining how many people like write something really, really great and then just delete it off their computer. So there isn't like a physical thing that someone can save. No one's gonna see it. Okay, let's shift into favorite book. You have mentioned a few good books here, and maybe it's gonna be Lord of the Rings, but what is if you had to pick one?
Well, so for this I was making myself stick to the rule of like, what have I read the most times? because it's just too hard again to actually pick a favorite book. But it probably is The Prisoner of Azkaban. It was the first choice. Harry Potter book that I read, and it was
That's interesting. You didn't start at the beginning. Raylene, you didn't either, right?
I did that with Series of Unfortunate Events. I read them in the wrong order.
In the wrong order. Same.
Yeah, completely in the wrong order.
I think with Harry Potter, like, I was lucky enough though that I got in there right before the midnight launches and stuff, before like the fourth book became like huge.
That's fun.
So I was like going to all those like midnight queues and stuff. But with that third book, it was around the time my parents divorced, and like I was still kind of coming to terms with it. And I read the whole book one weekend in my dad's, like visiting my dad in this one leather chair in his bedroom. Wow. And I sat and just read the whole book. And I never used to do that when I was younger. Like, I liked reading. And I think the first book that got me into books was probably Matilda or something like that by Roald Dahl. But with The Prisoner of Azkaban, I think it was just, like, even just the metaphors of depression and the Dementors. And there's so much that, as I came back to it when I was older, I found something new in it every time I read it. And it just always brought me back to like that feeling of like, oh, this is fun. This is so fun. Yeah. And I loved all the characters, and I loved the fact that it was, you know, kind of just the age that they are in that book was just such a like intense time. It was just a blast. And I feel like, because it's just become a comfort book, I suppose. And I've probably read that about like 8 times fully, which I don't do anymore with anything.
I
think that again is such proof of the idea that the book does matter, but it's also just about the moment when you read that book.
Big time.
That makes such a huge impact to whether it's going to be a new favorite or not.
It's like perfumes and smells. Like, you know, you get so... one smell of it can bring you back immediately to a certain time period of your life. And I think that the fact that books can do that is so interesting. And even if you flip that, I have read books that have been, you know, like everyone says this is the best thing in the world, and then I just can't, like, I'm like, this is awful. But it's because in my actual life I just have so much going on that is pulling me, or like my interests don't align with what that's actually about at that time. That is just so massive for me in when I look back at the books that I loved.
It's about the timing. So you're currently wearing a Gryffindor hoodie.
Don't expose me.
Would you say you're in Gryffindor house?
I always fancied myself to be a Gryffindor when I was younger. And then when I was older, I was like, no, I want to be a Hufflepuff, but I think I am a Gryffindor. Like, I have awful Gryffindor-y traits, and I'm a Leo. Like, my star sign, I don't believe in star signs, but that has always very much aligned with my personality as well. Yeah. So I do think I'm a terrible, awful Gryffindor. And just...
Oh, God. We recently were talking about this in another episode because we were recommending a book for each house. And so I was saying that I'm a Ravenclaw and Raylene is my only friend, but that is a Slytherin and is so proud to be a Slytherin.
It's just who I am. I can't help it. I'm also a Scorpio, so I feel like my star sign aligns with that as well.
Yeah. I guess I'm a Libra, which is the scales, right? That's kind of Ravenclaw-y.
Definitely.
To be
what's going on? Is this an astrology podcast? What's going on here?
Where am I?
I got lost.
Where are we? What are we doing? Okay, the next question is favorite genre. And you've alluded a little bit to how maybe that's kind of changed a bit for you, especially now that we're on this side or in this moment of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And kind of wanting to read things that are more hopeful and positive. So I'm curious about what are the genres that you most gravitate towards?
Yeah, because I was going to say... I know that uplifting fiction isn't exactly a genre because so many other genres fall under that umbrella.
Sure.
Like you can, if you look at like uplifting books, like Little Women, Pride and Prejudice, The Hobbit, there's so many, even Bridget Jones' Diary, a lot of the books I have all do fall under, they are uplifting. Like you come away from it being like, actually you have me really wanting to read is Anne of Green Gables. I've never read that. Never read that.
And Melanie.
I know.
It's not bad that you haven't read it. It's just, it's time. It's time for you to read it. That book is so fucking beautiful. And you know what? There was my friend Sarah, she also has a book YouTube channel. She made a video. I was so fucking scared. Do you ever have this feeling, Melanie, where somebody makes a video and you're in the thumbnail or you're mentioned in it and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
She was doing a video where she just chose five different people and read their favorite book of the year. Because at the end of the year, I obviously made a video where I talked about my favorite books of the year. And I said Anne of Green Gables was my favorite one. And so she went ahead and read it. And I was like, oh dear Lord, this is just not going to go well for me. She read it. She was crying in the vlog. She was so emotionally attached to the characters. She just was crying and crying. Oh. And now she's read more of the books in the series than I have. Because she just kept reading. Because she loved them so much. And it definitely didn't seem like the kind of book that she usually reads. That's the power of fucking Anne of Green Gables.
Anyone could love it.
Anyone can love it.
Yeah, no, that's 100% next for me. Because I have... read and heard people on BookTube saying that it's just that kind of a thing. You're just and that's all I want right now. I'm not able for just really heavy psychological thrillers or horrors or just anything like that, or dystopian or anything that, and I used to love a lot of that kind of stuff, but I just it's too real right now, so I just have stepped back and I'm like, just please immerse me in lovely things. But actually, I did read a really great psychological thriller recently, but I think the reason, it's not out yet. It's called Idol by Louise O'Neill. Mm. But I think the reason I enjoyed that so much was it was about a wellness influencer, and she is kind of wanting to tell her truth about something that happened to her, a sexual assault when she was younger, but it just turns out that there's, and this isn't a spoiler, it's on the covery thing,
on the flat,
but that there's someone from her past has a different version of events, and it's about who gets to tell their story, and that was very but it was still, afterwards I was I need to watch some movie that I've seen 50 million times now to just calm down. it was a lot.
I've realized that whenever the house is empty, I put on Pride and Prejudice in the background, And then in the last, well, actually in the last 2 years, I've also started playing the new Emma, the Anya Taylor-Joy, because I'm just like, that is a happy vibe. So I'm not worried that I'm alone in my house. I'm like, it's fine. Pride and Prejudice is
We literally just watched it again there the other day. We started watching it. Because I have a child now, I have to watch movies over like multiple nights. And like, it's the same with books. Like most of the books I consume now are through Audible. Like I just very rarely get to sit and actually read. But we, we watched Pride and Prejudice in like 3 or 4 different segments. We started it in London when I was over visiting Hannah Witton, and because she's about to pop one. And basically, we just finished it there yesterday. I was like, I just love this so much. Like,
so good.
Why are some things just so fucking good?
Like, it's just so good.
It's
just so fucking good. You know what it is? It's just it's a marrying of so many good elements. Like the soundtrack, fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
The cast, unbelievable.
Yeah.
The the cinematography, unbelievable. Like it's just like they ticked it all off.
Oh,
it was perfect.
The decor, like even just the paint colors and everything like that. Like, do you know the way when you were doing up your house, you had the Emma inspired room.
Yeah.
Like literally, I just love that so much, because there's been so many times I've been watching films being like, oh, I wish I had a room in my house that looked like that. And I only very recently have become a homeowner to the point where now I can actually go, oh, if I want to paint the walls that color, I can. No one can stop me now. It's such a lovely feeling to be 32 and finally I can actually paint the walls whatever color I want. I've waited a long time for this.
Yeah, I clearly went unhinged. I finally was able to, and I was like, so everything will be pink. Yeah? Okay.
Everything.
Okay, so the next question we have for you is whenever I send this to people, Raylene, who I know don't really listen to the podcast, I'm like, how the hell do we explain a mashed potato book? Christ almighty.
Oh God, yeah.
It's such a silly concept. So this was, I don't know, it just, you know, it was one of those things that it kind of made sense at the time. And the more we look back on it, we're like, barely making sense anymore.
I don't know how we did this in the second episode. We came up with this crazy concept.
Episode two.
It's been here since the beginning.
We were talking about how there's books that you usually purchase, but or can just know about. And it's a book you've been meaning to read for ages and ages, but you keep not reading it because you're like saving it for the perfect time.
Mm.
And our metaphor was like you're having like a turkey dinner or a roast dinner, and the mashed potatoes is the part you keep saving.
Yeah.
By the time you get to them, they're cold, and you're like, you should have just eaten them earlier.
Would have made a lot more sense. Because usually you're going to love the book. Like, usually it's a book that you know you're going to love.
Yeah, exactly.
And you do almost every single time. And it's like, why didn't I just give myself that joy like 8 years ago instead of waiting?
Oh, I have this so hard,
We're wondering what your latest mashed potato book is. And that can be a book you finally read it, or it can be a book that's still yet it's just sitting there staring you down, whatever way you want to answer this.
I think like my ultimate answer for this would be one, like I did eventually get to read it, but it was on my to-read list for so long. Like, and I was like, I'm gonna absolutely love that. But then a couple of times I tried to start it and it just wasn't pulling me in. It was really, really slow. And I was like, everyone is saying this is just the best thing since sliced bread. And it's just like, why, like what is wrong? And I knew, so I bought it and I had it there for ages.
Classic.
But when I read it, I just was obsessed with it. And I really need to read it again, actually. The Night Circus.
Yes, classic.
So
that build up was
good.
Worth it.
Like I can't even anytime anyone asks me to explain it, I'm like, how do I do that without spoiling it? But you know, it's everything about it is, and it is very slow to start, but just like have faith, stick with it. It pays off so well. Oh my god.
It's just so atmospheric. That's the way we always describe that book. It's just like the atmosphere is so like magical and dreamy and I love it. We really need to reread that, Ariel. We've been saying that for years, but it's been like a decade since we read it.
Yeah, I think the first time I would have read it was like 2012, 2013.
That's when all of us teens were reading it for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. Everyone was going on about it and on about it. And I was like, I just felt so left out when I'd be talking to people who, and they'd all be like going on about this as if like, you know, how have you not read this? Just based on the other books that I liked, people were just really shocked and kept recommending it to me all the time. I was like, I'll fucking read it. So I just, and I was really scared that of just being the one person to hate it. But yeah, no, it's amazing.
It holds up. It's one of those books that actually is as good as everyone says it is.
Yeah. Oh, man. Which doesn't happen much.
No, actually, it's true. Okay. The last great book you read. I love this question because, you know, we could have asked, what's the last book you read? But no, like, what's the last one you read that you're like, actually, I really recommend this to people, or I really, this one was a standout?
Yeah, see, I do, like, I feel like, anytime I'm reading something I'm enjoying, I'm like, oh, like, this is my new favorite, like, and stuff. But if I actually think back to what I've read over the past, say, 3 years, and, like, what have I texted people about, or what have I, you know, bought people, or what have I just it's something that I've brought up a lot. I honestly think Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. I don't know if you've read that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, Raylene, you've read that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really, really loved it. And I think, again, it was, it did feel very, like, uplifting. And it's not very plot heavy, really. And it's, like, it was very much just about how, like simple interactions with other people can affect your life. And the ending was very, like, unexpected for me as well. And I just remember I had a really good time reading it. And a big part of my positive experience reading that book may have been the time that I read it. It was like the lead up to my wedding and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it was, my original, like, my wedding actually ended up getting cancelled because of COVID, but it was when I was first, like, gearing up to.
You were anticipating it still.
Yeah, and I was just in this, I was in this, like euphoric kind of, I was like working out all the time and I was like, oh, I have all the free time in the world to read books. Yeah, I'm just going to sit and relax and have a cup of hot chocolate with this book. And it was a lovely reading experience. But, and the protagonist is like, it's just like so difficult to get into at first. And she just really interested me because it was very different from any character I've read before. Like how well spoken she is, like the way she describes everything's described in the book and everything. It's just I can't really explain why I liked it so much, but yeah, that was one where I was like, that and Normal People by Sally Rooney. I think that was another one.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I struggled with Normal People, and I really think it goes exactly with what we're saying. I just read it in the wrong time.
Yeah.
And I remember basically it was for my Patreon. And like a couple years ago, I had kind of a book clubby thing on my Patreon. And I actually stopped doing the Patreon book club because every time I read a book, I ended up not liking it. And I'm like, it's definitely because I feel so pressured to read this quickly. Yeah. And I'm just like putting pressure on myself to read it for a certain deadline, etc. That's kind of ruining the book. Because I was reading unbelievably good books like Normal People and the Celeste Ng one, Little Fires Everywhere. Yeah. And I was like, not really liking any of these phenomenal books. And I'm like, what's the common thread? I'm stressed.
That'll do it.
But I definitely want to go back to that one. So have you read Conversations with Friends or her new one, and Normal People is still your favorite?
So I actually didn't really like Conversations with Friends.
Okay.
And I thought I would prefer that before I'd read either of them and I read what they were about, I was like, oh, Conversations with Friends is so, like, I would be so into that. But I don't know. I don't know what it was. I think maybe just the characters I just didn't like or care about them at all. But with Normal People, I think it just, especially being Irish and stuff, it just really tapped into like a certain, like when you're in secondary school and just that whole time, it brought back a lot of really like, not even good memories, but just like that.
Just memories.
Just like memories. You know, when you're that age and everything is so fresh and new and like, you know, your first, the first like amazing sexual experiences you're having and that kind of thing. it brought me back to that time period. So, and there was just like a lot of little references in the book that were just really, like very, very Irish. But that, it just went on to be so, and I wasn't that mad keen on the way it's written, in that it's a bit more like literary in style. I know. How do you define literary though? I'm always curious to ask, like, you know, people who are into reading, because I don't know, sometimes I'm like, oh, this is like, I'm not going to like this because it's a literary book. But then, you know, because I don't read many books of that. Like, I'm more into commercial fiction.
Yes.
But then, like, what actually defines literary?
Like, what's general fiction versus literary fiction?
Remember, Raylene, when we went to that bookshop together?
And they had two different categories for that.
They had two different sections in the bookshop. And I'd never seen that before, because they had, like, general fiction and then literary fiction. Yeah. And I'm like, wow. I mean, obviously, conversation-wise and in the book world, there's a difference between those two, but I'd never physically seen it in a bookstore, because I was like, I mean, it's all fiction, so in my head The Great Gatsby would sit beside like Stephen King or whatever. Well, they wouldn't, because what alphabetically do they have in common? But like, they would, because it's all fiction. But it was interesting to see the distinction. I guess, like, if I was forced to try and think of a definition, the only thing I can think to say would be one is trying to win prizes.
Yeah.
And the other one isn't. Necessarily trying to win prizes. Obviously, there are different types of prizes, but they're not going for the literary prizes. They're not going for, like, the Booker or something.
Yeah. I meant, like, in her... Yeah. Do you know the way she doesn't have...
Quotations
and things like that. Like, I really struggled with that when I started reading it.
Yeah.
Like, if that wasn't... I will admit, if that wasn't set in Ireland, I probably would have given up at the beginning of it. Just because, you know, I don't know, I was like, oh, I really have to like give this a go. But then, but by the end of it, I hated the ending, but I was just like, it was so, the fact that it riled me up so much, and it's one that has started a lot of actual real life conversations. So I feel like,
that's
that
cool.
Is the sign of a great book, that it's not forgettable and it's not, you know, just something I was like, meh.
Did you see the show? Did you like the show?
I did like the show. Yeah. I thought, I don't know, there was a lot, obviously it's like with any adaption, like there's stuff they leave out and that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Marianne was like way too pretty compared to what she was in my head. I was just like, this is like some supermodel, and she's like, he doesn't like me. And I was like, this is just what? Like, if that girl approached me in school, I'd be like, oh my God. You know, it was just a bit...
classic Hollywood.
It was very TV-ish, you know, but at least we got to see some penis. That was cool. You don't see much penis on TV. Especially here.
I'm just so glad I asked, Melanie. I'm so
I never would have known that.
How else would we penis get on TV?
These important details. All right. Well, the next question, and the last one in this kind of getting to know you section, is what are you currently reading? What are you diving into right now?
So I think I touched on this at the start of the podcast, but it's that the vegan propaganda book. And it's by a YouTuber, Ed Winters. And he's like a vegan activist. But yeah, I'm almost finished it, because I'm recording with Lena tomorrow, and it's just I've been really struggling with it though, because I do read a lot of nonfiction. And a lot more than I used to. But oh my God, do you know when you just don't want to know certain things, but then once you know them, you're like forever changed, and you're like, I can't unsee, can't unhear. And it's been, just very challenging, especially to the stuff to do with, my husband's a pilot, for example, and the book kind of goes through the impact on, you know, emissions and stuff from the meat and dairy industry, and it compares that at one point to the aviation industry, and it's like the aviation industry is like a couple of percent, and then this is like, you know, and he, you know, he's a vegetarian, and he does like we buy soy milk and all that kind of thing, but he, you know, he still eats eggs and he'd still eat cheese sometimes, but for so long, like, he's had a lot of an inner struggle with, like, oh, I've always dreamed of being a pilot, and he worked so hard and spent so much money to train up to become a pilot, and now he's always like, am I, you know, I'm contributing to this awful thing, you know, with global warming, and he has kind of carried that then going into work, like feeling really, really guilty about it. And like, we have an electric car, and we do a lot of things to try and, like, even when my baby was born, we went and bought like reusable nappies and lots of things. Like, we do a lot of little things here and there. We're not perfect, like, obviously, but we try. And anyway, just hearing that, for example, I was like talking to him for ages about it then on the phone, like when he was away on a long haul trip, just about like what's in our fridge versus like what your job is contributing. Yeah. Like there's so much to unpack in the book, and I'm just there's a horrible section in it as well where it's like going through you know, just with dairy, like I breastfeed my son, and just thinking about like how dairy comes to be, you know, we don't think about these things. Like, they are literally essentially artificially inseminating cows, and like it's the whole thing is just so fucked. Spooky. And
it's so spooky.
He goes into like some really like graphic detail, like, and he says it all very passionately, and I think because you're hearing the person who wrote it read it, like hearing it on Audible versus reading it, I think is more impactful because you can hear the desperation in his voice to get through. And so it's really like yesterday my dad offered me some mini eggs, like Cadbury mini eggs. They're like because it's coming up to Easter. I was looking at them, I'm like, I felt the saliva building in my mouth, but then I was like, my hand, I was like, just like, no. And it's really difficult, and it is one of the, I know the whole point of Lena's series is that like you're reading books that people put off reading because they're so
stressful,
challenging and stressful, and it is very much that, and I can't wait for it to be over.
Love that when a book is like so good but also just like, I don't want to be reading this.
It's so painful, difficult, man.
That's rough. I remember when it was a long time ago, but there was a moment where I understood that cows made milk for their babies, not just because they make milk. Like, because like obviously growing up as a kid, you're drinking milk or whatever, and like cows in every depiction are just like, they make milk. Like that's where milk always, comes from cows. For us. So I just thought cows made milk.
Yeah,
like,
it just that's spills just out all day.
Yeah, just like they're just making it.
But and then we just put our cups, like, under their udders and collect it.
At some point, I realized that they make milk for their babies, and we're just kind of like cutting in
and
just
taking it,
cutting in and taking it. I'm like, whoa.
The way I keep thinking about it now, I'm like, you know, imagine if we did that to women. Like,
I was just thinking that,
like. Just, you know, we're going to make you stay in a permanent state of, like, lactating. So, you know, that's going to be your life. You're going to be in this little pen. And then we're going to come in and put these machines on your boobs. And, like, you are there for us to consume your milk. Yeah. That is all you are. And it's so awful. Like, I just, you know, and I have had a lot of, like, over the years, like, justifying to myself, and I've been like, you know, oh, I tried being vegan, and it, see, I kind of started, I got into that, I wouldn't say vegan, plant-based. When you said earlier, Ariel, about YouTubers using your picture on thumbnails, like, the vegan YouTubers came for me so hard. I used to use the word vegan interchangeably with plant-based. So yeah, and but it was kind of to mask eating disorder behaviors, because I was trying to figure out, how can I cut out more food groups, and I didn't feel very well when I was eating that way and stuff. So like I've constantly like grappled with it, I suppose, over the years and years. And now I've been fully recovered for quite some time, and I'm nervous about like affecting or like bringing up old awful feelings that I worked through in therapy. So like it's just been, do you know when a book just like actually smacks you in the face? Like, it's insane that the power of books, like these just words that someone researched and wrote this book, and then it's in your house suddenly changing your life. Like, it's actually unbelievable.
Yeah, I love that. Wow. Well, I don't know if you recommend it or not. It's sort of like at your own peril.
Proceed with caution.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we're going to hop into our recommendations now. We love doing these. These are submitted by our listeners on our website. Raylene, if you want to start us off with the first one, we'll start recommending books to the good people listening to the pod.
Yeah. All right. So we'll start with this one from Bella. Bella says, "Hey guys, much like Ariel, I too am renovating an old house. She's a yellow Victorian built in 1900 with red stained glass windows and an extremely old grown yard, no matter what I do to it. Could you recommend me a book based off of my old house vibes? Much love from Illinois." Thank you,
Bella. I love it. I know, Melanie, you just bought a house, so we were excited to find this one. I saw your series of power washing your garden.
Oh, it was so deliciously enjoyable. Oh my God. That thing, man. Like, I just can't. I'm actually excited for the pavement outside to get gross again, just so I could use it again. That's how fun it was. I read this and I didn't, like, nothing was coming to me, but my book that's coming out is called Glass Houses, and it's a big portion of it is about this group of people all dealing with different traumas, mental health issues, and they're kind of doing up an old, like, overgrown, awful, like, destroyed garden. And I thought I should plug my book there.
Absolutely.
Perfect. I love that. I'm glad you did that. So it's coming, you said it's coming out on May 5th.
May 5th.
Is it only in the UK coming out, or, because I'm sure everyone can get it on Book Depository.
Yeah. So my publisher is Hachette Ireland. So it's the Irish branch of Hachette, and they just published like the actual like physical book and stuff like that here, but they make it available to be ordered to anywhere in the world. So I've been kind of like, you know, should I, because I don't have an agent. Like, I started with this publisher without an agent, and because I don't have an agent, I don't have a person like in my corner trying to like sell rights to other countries type thing. So I'm possibly going to try and like sort that out before I write and publish another book. But they are like, they can get it into shops in other countries if it's like requested into the shops, but you can order it from anywhere. Book Depository has worldwide free shipping, and it's definitely on Amazon. It's going to be on Audible with like actresses doing the voiceovers.
That's exciting.
I love that because my previous two audiobooks did really well, and they got such lovely reviews. And, like, really well, like, my publisher said that their most highly rated audiobooks of all time were my two. I think a lot of my followers probably, like prefer listening to, because a lot of my videos, they probably treat like a podcast almost. But, that's going to be really, really cool. And Amazon. I'm trying to promote the pre-orders and the orders through Irish bookshops, just because, like, they all struggled a lot during the pandemic, but I know that like it's a pain in the ass, paying like loads of shipping money to get a book through an independent bookstore.
It's always tricky. Okay, Raylene, what book did you pick for old house vibes?
I also like picturing the overgrown garden is kind of what helped make me pick this book. I decided to go with We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson, because it's about these sisters who are like reclusive, live in this big house by themselves, and they're like kind of outcasts from the town. So I kind of imagine like overgrown yard, beautiful house, and they just never leave the house. So that's kind of the vibe I was going for with that one.
What they do for a power washer like Melanie's.
Right?
I picked Sense and Sensibility because Raylene and me just watched the 95 version. I mean, I've seen it loads, but it was the first time Raylene was watching it.
Wow.
So while I was watching it, I was really seeing it with like fresh eyes. You know, I was like, what is Raylene imagining in these different moments and everything? And I realized that it is a movie about houses, or it's a novel. I'm saying movie because we just watched the movie, but it really is about, it's really about houses. Like, they are going from this beautiful big old house and they're having to move into this cottage. I know, ew. And it's like so ridiculous because the cottage is so beautiful, yeah. Bigger than the houses most of us can afford. Yeah. but like, yeah, and it's like their own little private, like, beachy area. It's like, okay, this was still luxury, but that's fun. They had to share bedrooms, dear God. But yeah, I love that book. And for ages, it was my favorite Jane Austen. It's now kind of slightly won out by Persuasion, but I really love Sense and Sensibility. And this time watching it, I was like, wow, this really is about the houses in a lot of ways, and how they're trying to like have to get themselves accustomed to a new type of living. Mm. I think it's really beautiful.
That's a good one.
I also wrote down The Secret Life of Bees by Sue Monk Kidd.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about the giant like southern house that they live in, and like just the wraparound porch. The dream of a wraparound porch is what I was thinking of. all right, Raylene, what's the next one?
Okay, this next one. Oh my gosh, this person's name is Bronte. That's awesome. that like, wow. Whoa. And she says, I am setting out on a 3-week solo walk across the Australian desert in a month. I'm looking for a few amazing audiobooks and ebooks I can take with me to keep me company. Something lighthearted, exciting, and with no scary themes. My mind will make enough scariness without the added reading or listening. Bonus points for humor so I can fill my tent with laughter of an evening. So that's fun. And that's perfect because we were just talking about uplifting, lighthearted books. That's something that people want right now, especially if you're alone in the desert.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Melanie, what came to mind for you?
Something I really enjoyed recently, I thought it was very funny and also definitely very lighthearted, is Our Stop. And the author is Laura Jane Williams. It's so interesting. Like, I'll read out to you the blurb here, like, really, really. It's not a long blurb. Nadia gets the 7:30 train every morning without fail, well, except if she oversleeps or wakes up at a friend Emma's after too much wine. Daniel really does get the 7:30 train every morning, which is easy because he hasn't been able to sleep properly since his dad died. One morning, Nadia's eye catches sight of a post-it, or a post in the daily paper, to the cute girl with the coffee stains on her dress. I'm the guy who's always standing near the doors. Drink sometime? So begins a not quite romance of near misses, true love, and the power of the written word. It's so cute. It's just,
I love it.
It's so cute. It's like a rom-com in a book. She's very funny. Like, Laura is so hilarious. Like, just amazing.
Awesome. That sounds adorable. That sounds so absolutely adorable. Have you seen your name, obviously, really. And Melanie, have you seen the movie Your Name?
No.
Do you remember the train part in that, Raylene, where like they're both in different trains by accident and then they go past each other?
No! They're like, wait a minute, is that you? And it's like, gone.
Shit!
Oh, that movie's devastating. It's so good.
It's so good. Raylene, what did you pick?
I picked two books because I was trying to think like humor. What are like funny books that would be good to listen to on audiobook? And so I picked two different books that I listened to on audio. One was a recent one, Anxious People by Frederick Bachman. That book is just hilarious and crazy. So I feel like it would be perfect for keeping you company when you're all alone and need a good laugh. But then I was also thinking memoirs by funny people is like a good genre for this type of thing. And so one that I listened to a few years ago that I remembered recently is A Life in Parts by Bryan Cranston. For people who don't know, Bryan Cranston is a great actor and he's hilarious. Yeah. And his book is so funny. And
I didn't even know he had a book. I love that.
Oh, it's so, so good. I highly recommend it. And the audiobook is incredible because obviously he reads it himself. And just hearing his story is it's just downright wonderful. So I highly recommend that. a book I've never talked about before on the podcast probably, but very good book.
I love that. I also picked a book I don't think I've mentioned on the pod before. And I kind of went in a different direction than both of you, but I don't know. I stand by it. Damn it. Okay. I stand by it. I picked Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari.
Oh, okay.
So this is, the subtitle is A Brief History of Humankind, which I already think is a joke because it's like a 700-page book or something.
It's not very brief.
It's a huge book. So this is really not the kind of book I would typically pick up just because, you know, I'm scared of big books. But I had some deal or something, and so I ended up getting it for free on audio. And he reads it. He's very funny and kind of witty. But this was one of the most fascinating books I've ever listened to. And I will be honest, I didn't finish it because we were driving, like we started it on a road trip and we didn't finish it on the road trip. But then my brain was like, that book is associated with that road trip. So I never finished it because I was like,
you're never going to be on that road trip again.
I'm never going to be on the road trip again. But it's basically like really going from kind of the first iterations of humans up until kind of modern humans, and like looking at how humans have been throughout history and the different ways that we behave and just the history of humans. It's so interesting. And I really think that if you're walking through Australia and you want to think, this is like a book that will also be long enough that you would like get to be with it for a long time.
That's a really good pick.
All right, well, Raylene, what is this final one? I'm actually pretty proud of how well we customized these for Melanie.
That
we
is went, a good
we
point.
Did the old house, a happy audiobook, and now we're going to talk about babies.
Yeah!
Yeah, I love this one. So this one comes from Sarah, who says, I am a primary school teacher. I teach year 1 6- and 7-year-olds in Sydney, Australia, and have been for 2 years. During this time, I've started a collection of picture books that I like to read to my kids every morning to settle them into the day. I was wondering if you had any favorite picture books, either from when you were younger, or perhaps even one you've come across in recent years that you've been interested in that I could add to my collection. I love this.
Love it.
Because I have actually read a couple of picture books in the past few years. Don't ask me why, but I have.
Just prepping for when you might need them.
Yeah.
I mean, really, now I'm curious. So you should start us off. What have you found?
Okay, well, I have a couple from my childhood that I'll mention after, but the ones that I specifically read kind of recently were books by John Clausen. I don't know if you guys
yes,
have heard
them.
Yes,
that's what I've written down. I want my hat back.
For me, This Is Not My Hat is my favorite of his. This Is Not My Hat is like so funny because it's like about these fish that are like this fish that has a hat and he's just like really shifty eyed and he's like, this is not my hat. And you're like, wait, why not? Like, where did it come from? And oh, it's just hysterical. And his art style is incredible. I will like read anything that he writes because I just love his illustrations so much. But taking me back to childhood, one of my favorite picture books was Are You My Mother? I guess it's P.D. Eastman, one of those Dr. Seuss books that you think is Dr. Yep. Seuss but isn't. I absolutely love that book. That's one that my mom read with me a lot, and I just adored it. And then I also wanted to mention, it's not really a picture book so much, but it does have pictures, A Light in the Attic by Shel Silverstein, however you say his name. And I just absolutely loved him as a kid. He's a poet, but he also does all the illustrations in his books. And They're just so fun. Like, they're so fun to read out loud and, like, to share with people. And I just absolutely love that. So I recommend those for any classroom, because I actually discovered them because of my grade 3 teacher, who was she would read his poems to us. And so I feel like they're perfect for a classroom because that's how I discovered them myself.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Melanie, how has reading books to your son been?
I need to write all this down. Like, I'm literally, because he gets more excited about sitting and reading books than putting on a cartoon. It's insane.
Oh, that's awesome.
He loves it. And actually, you mentioned Dr. Seuss there. Like, we have the Dr. Seuss ABCs book, and I know it's a bit old for him, but he still loves it. Like, and it's just so, I worry, I'm like, is this gonna like make him not speak very well? Because, you know, there's like a fiffer feffer feff is one of the characters in it, and there's no such thing. Like, there's so many random things in it, but as a like for me, I'm like, this is so fun to read out loud. Like, it's, and the pictures are amazing. The art is just gorgeous. But I love reading him books. Like, I went online when he was born and ordered all of the like top recommended books for like babies under 1 and then from 1 to 2. And like Goodnight Moon, all those ones that are like super popular. And he just loves it so much. Like, it's amazing seeing him. Like, he sits down and he's clapping his hands. He's like looking up at me just like. And every time I'm like, and when you're doing the voices, my husband and I have different voices for different characters and stuff. It's so fun. But yeah, I actually don't know many at all books for older kids. Like, this person saying 6 to 7 year olds, I think. I'm so, I have no idea. So I literally, whatever you two are recommending, I am going to just order and have it there. Because, oh God, I'm so excited for him to get older and to just start reading, like actually sitting and reading. I still remember being a kid, like reading Goosebumps and The Babysitter's Club. You're just like, it was the best memories ever. And having it reading is. Competitions with my cousins. Like, what page are you on?
Yeah, you know you're on the right podcast when the guest is reading competitions with her cousins.
What else did we used to do for fun? Like nothing else. Reading competitions. That's it.
I have an important question for you, Melanie. Mm-hmm. This is a huge one. Okay, this is a huge one. When will you first expose your son to the Harry Potter books?
Okay, so I know there's a lot of debate about this, and I did buy these after JK Rowling got Twitter, unfortunately. So I justified it to myself by kind of thinking that, like, you know, she has so much money, she's not gonna, you know, be dying for my pennies. And it's also supporting, I wanted to support the artist of these, but you know the illustrated Harry Potter books.
Oh,
so we've been buying those. I think we have the first four so far.
Okay, cool.
I don't know if he's finished them all, but like, oh, what, I don't know what the artist's name is, hang on, I'm gonna Google it. But they're so gorgeous, like the art in the books is better than the movies, you know. It's more, yeah, it's closer stunning. To what I imagined.
Oh, that's interesting. Raylene, which ones do you have? You have some of them,
I have,
right?
Those too. Yeah, I think they only have up to four published. Okay, so far. Cool.
Jim K. So,
okay, yeah,
essentially, yes. they're like basically just the Harry Potter books with these beautiful, elaborate illustrations. And I think, like, as soon as he's old enough really to understand, maybe 8 or 9, I'm probably gonna like sit and read the illustrated ones with him. The reason we've been buying those is for him. I got a bit of clap back online when people are like, why are you buying those? And so I do find it easy to separate art from the artist, and I know that's a whole different podcast conversation. But I really can, like, Harry Potter to me is just it's like, you know, it's like a leg, like it's just been such a big part of my life that I can't, like, nothing and nobody could ever impact, because it's like it's a real thing, a real place. I just can't and even stuff like, you know, the Universal Studio tour, like I used to go to that all the time, but if I go to that now, you know, there's so many other people whose jobs rely on that, you know. It's bigger than the person who created the world. And and that's the scary thing with books. Like, it's like, even myself, like when I'm publishing something, I'm like, this isn't mine anymore now. Like, people can just either hate it, or they can love it, or they can misunderstand it. Like with my first novel, I still remember someone saying to me about my best friend, he's gay, and the character in the book, his experiences and his like his character, where a lot of his personality came from, I suppose, was from, you know, a lot of awful experiences he had growing up, being coming to terms with being gay and things like that. But the character, I remember someone saying, oh, he's just a gay best friend, and he's, you know, and I just remember getting so frustrated. I was like, he has like his whole own story, and he's not that. And I remember getting so defensive, so and literally getting into a back and forth, and I was like, what am I doing? This is not what am I doing? They can take from this whatever they will take from it, because it's not my place. I can't like try and micromanage people's opinions of my book, like. And it's so now with this next one, I'm just kind of like obviously you get curious about reviews and stuff, but I try and like take negative reviews and positive reviews as just like the same. Like, I'm just I can't let the positive reviews go to my head the same way I can't let the negative reviews go to my head.
It's so true. That was one of the best pieces of advice. And I think it might have, do you know Este
Lalonde? I love her. I love
She's incredible. Este's the best. I think it was her that told me this once, or I forget, but it was basically like, if you let the positive comments affect you, it means the negative ones will too.
Yes.
And so you can't just be like, I'm not going to listen to negative comments. I can only accept the positive ones. It's like the second
you walk around like, I'm amazing. I'm just,
yeah. But the second that you let any of them in, they're all going to affect you. So I think that's a really interesting point.
Yeah. I don't know how we got onto that.
I was just thinking, I was like, I asked you when you're going to read Harry Potter to yourself.
Don't get us started on Harry Potter, Ariel. That's the mistake
I made. I made a strategic mistake. It's true. Well, it's funny, Raylene. The picture books I picked are very similar to the ones you picked. So,
oh, cute.
I really recommend I Want My Hat Back by John Klassen. And I think that that can be for a younger audience. Like, I don't know the age ranges on these things. I guess I've never really thought about it. But very similar.
It's like, I greatly enjoyed it at age 25. Yeah,
I must have been 25 when I read that a couple years ago. And it's so fucking funny. Like, it's so, so funny. It's about a bear who's lost his hat, or a bear or a bunny. I forget who loses. I think it's the bear.
I think he's a bear.
Yeah, the bear loses his hat. And so he's just going to talk to different animals trying to find his hat. And by the end of the book, you realize he finds his hat and then he does something questionable to get it back. And you're just like, uh-oh. It's really, really funny. And then the other one that I picked is my all-time favorite book when I was a kid, Go Dog Go by P.D. Eastman.
Oh, I've never even heard of that. Yeah.
It's so good. It's so, so good. So it's about all of these dogs who are going to a dog party.
Oh,
and so the whole book is just like telling you about the different dogs that are going to the party. So it's like blue dogs and yellow dogs, upside down dogs and right side up dogs. And it's like, so it's got a lot of pictures and it is kind of Dr. Seuss-y because it's like a lot of rhyming and stuff like that. But then there's this through line of this dog who, these two dogs who keep meeting on their way to the party. And every time the girl dog's wearing a different hat, she's like, I guess I'm really into hat picture books. I don't know. She's like, do you like my hat? And he says, I do not like your hat. And she says, good day. He says, good day. later. But then at the end, they all get to this big dog party that's in a tree, and it's just awesome. And so I love this book. My dad loves this book, and he would read it to me, and we just love it, and we kind of mention it as a joke back and forth. And so one of my very close friends had a baby a few years ago, and I got him his first book. I was like, this is a big deal to me. I'm going to get you a book. And I chose Go Duck Go, right? And it definitely was too old for him. Like, he wasn't really comprehending of the excellence of this book until now he's like two or something. But the last time I hung out with this little family, I asked, I didn't even ask about the book I was gonna, because now they've had another baby. So I'm like, I've got to get that baby a book. And independently, she said, I needed to let you know, Go Dog Go is Titus's favorite book.
Oh.
And I was like, no. And you could tell he was sort of upset about it. He's like, I read that book like three times a day now. And I was like,
It's the struggle.
So anyway, I feel like it's current kid approved. It's not just Ariel in the 90s who loved this book.
Yeah.
It's even me approved. I really want to read that. Like the good day thing. I just want to do that to people when they just tell me they don't like something about me. I might just reply that to like negative comments from now on. Good day.
Good day.
Amazing.
That's beautiful. Funny. Oh man. Well, we've come to the end of the podcast. Melanie, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
My face hurts from
smiling.
That was so fun. Thank you for having me.
This happens every brilliant.
Thank you so much. So I am actually gonna wrangle you into doing one last little thing. We record like a 5-minute bonus podcast for our patrons.
Oh,
so
very nice.
We're gonna be answering this question from Mrs. Emily Hunt, who asks us all about author photos. And we thought it would be super fun to talk with you because, I mean, she's asking, like, hypothetically, if we had author photos, what outfit would we wear? What would we do with our hair? What background would we want? And we thought it would be fun to answer just us. And then when we had you coming on, we were like, wait, we should do that one because you actually have an author photo.
I do. Yes, so I have. I actually did like a little like author photo shoot recently, and I was like, right, I'm going full out. I'm going all out. I'm going to hire someone who's like a professional photographer, and I'm going to wear my, but then, yeah, exactly that came up. I was like, what do I want my author self to wear? Like, exactly. How do I want people to perceive me?
It's a whole debate.
It is.
We're going to answer that on
I have no idea what I'm going to say.
Answer this on our Patreon. Thank you, Melanie, again. Everyone in the show notes is linked Melanie's information where you can check out her new book and her Instagram and her YouTube channel and stuff. So everyone go click on that. Thanks so much, Melanie. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.